Welcome to Mooch Radio. My name is Murat Nahimina. Our guest at this time is Stacey Darku, a registered BIPOC counseling therapist based in Sackville and Dartmouth, a counselor for racial trauma, sexual trauma, couples counseling, and addiction recovery. First of all, welcome to Mooch Radio, the Black radio in Canada. Stacey Darku, can you please present yourself to our listeners?
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here. My name is Stacey Darku, and I'm a registered counseling therapist here in Nova Scotia. A little bit about myself. So I was born in New Brunswick. My mother and father are from Ghana. So they immigrated to Canada in the 80s, and I was born. And I lived in New Brunswick for quite some time, and then I moved to Nova Scotia in 2020. Where I was doing my master's degree in counseling psychology. And then the rest is history. I stayed here. I started doing therapy as well. And for me, I've been in the mental health field for almost 20 years. So I felt that it was the next step for me to get my degree in counseling.
You have been working in the mental health field for over 15 years in different capacities. Can you explain what mental health is?
Good question. So I would say, yes, there's different types of mental health issues. There's different type of mental illnesses. You know, a lot of folks, when they think of, you know, access and services for their mental health, I think a lot of folks think, oh, I have to be really, really, really bad before I need to get help. But essentially, like when it comes to our health, our mental health, it focuses our mind, our body, our decision-making skills, our relationships. It focuses on flexible thinking as well. It focuses on how we cope. So it's a lot of these things. So a lot of folks that do come for supports could have trouble with navigating their romantic relationships, or they could have trouble with navigating relationships at school or work. They could maybe be going through a breakup. Maybe they're going through a loss. Maybe they just feel like they're just not on track and they just need someone to help guide them so they can get back on track. Maybe they're having sleep disturbances and ruminating thoughts, anxious thoughts. So there's different reasons why people come for mental health supports, but there's different facets as well.
Therapists used to say that therapy is not an instant fix, but treatment which goes with time and consistency. Is this your approach?
It depends on the person, depends on why they're coming. I've had clients that may need only 5 sessions, whereas I have clients that are with me for years, right? So it really depends on why they're there. There's some folks that they like therapy because it's almost like a maintenance. So they could initially come into therapy because they're dealing with trauma. So we're doing lots of trauma work, you know, the first couple of years. And then, you know, their trauma symptoms have decreased or are stabilized where they can kind of function in the world. And maybe they're now talking about romantic relationships. Maybe they're now talking about how they can, you know, be a different version of themselves or identity work. So it really depends on why you're there, why you want to engage in therapy. But I would say, you know, some people do like it for the maintenance piece, just to have that person to talk to. Outside of me being a counseling therapist, I also own my clinic. So I own S&M Counseling that is located in Lower Sackville and in Dartmouth. And the reason why I wanted to create my clinic was to have a space for people of color. Essentially, at our clinic, we are a diverse team of clinicians. So we have services in multiple languages. We're adding more people to our team, so we'll have services now in 6 languages. So that helps with the safety of having someone that can speak in your mother tongue, for example. Another piece of it is that having that diversity in that space can also feel safe for people of color. You know, it comes down to different facets of like having our paintings that represent us, you know, being, you know, using the Afrocentric approach. So there's lots of food in the office, so sharing food, you know, is very important for our clients and our clinicians to have access to. In addition to safety, when it comes to therapy, we encourage new clients to come and talk to multiple therapists until they find the right fit. Because I think also there's a misconception of if I'm with one therapist, I have to stay with that one therapist. Whereas like we want to encourage you to try different therapists to see if they can connect with you.
How do you approach intergenerational trauma?
I would definitely say, like, you know, in our community, there is a lot of intergenerational trauma. There's a lot of systemic racism, colonialization, all those things impact the generations. So when I do work with youth, and that's a clientele I do work with often, is the first thing I do have to have a good rapport with the youth. I want the youth to feel safe, feel seen, feel heard, so they can have that space to talk.
How do you detect youth conflict of identity and lies?
Essentially, when I do work with young people, I do ask for their permission, because they're getting older, if I can talk to the parents. And the purpose of me talking to their parents is to, number one, have the potential of bringing them into therapy, to work together as a team, to guide the parents on how to parent their young child better, so they're not fighting back and forth. I do find a lot of parents that have teenagers, they forget that the teenagers are growing. They're not little children anymore. So meeting them where they're at, and also acknowledging the intergenerational trauma that could be placed on. The great part of having a large team of clinicians is that oftentimes, if I'm noticing that, you know, the youth is doing a lot of great work in therapy, but it's not translating into the home, I usually do recommend the parents to engage in parent therapy. So we do have clinicians that can support parents on navigating. And then essentially we want to bring them all in for family therapy. And I find that is the best approach.
What are some warning signs of depression and anxiety?
Yeah, that's a good question. I will say, you know, because I've been doing this for so long, I usually can tell what parts of the child's life is struggling. I will say, like, once you do have a good rapport with a youth teenager, they usually will tell you, to be honest. And if, for example, school is failing, struggles at school, whatnot, I usually do connect with the school counselor, of course, with everyone's permission, because having that collaborative approach is the best approach to help anyone, really, having a strong team of people around them. And I do find that has been very helpful. And I think you said something really important when you say, like, sometimes children will lie, they won't tell their parents. Usually that's a warning sign for me that they're worried about how their parents are going to react, or their parents' reactions has been not helpful in the past. So if, for example, a youth comes into my office and they're sharing a lot with me, but they're not talking to their parents, that is a warning sign. So for me, that's when, you know, it is important to intervene with the parents of, like, creating that safe space for the child, so they're not reacting, they're not yelling, they're not, you know, screaming and everyone's getting in trouble, but for the child to essentially come to them when they are struggling. So we don't get to a place of shame or, you know, guilt or embarrassment. So yeah, like, I would say, like, for that, in if it's going too far, that kind of tells me that their home life isn't really conducive for really important conversations. I would say, so for me as a counseling therapist, I can treat anxiety and depression, for example, but I can't diagnose it. But there's obviously warning signs. There's symptoms that may show up. You know, for us, like, having psychoeducation, so providing education to their parents, you know, of, like, oh, like, these are the signs, you know, if your child is not, let's say, enjoying the activities that they used to enjoy, or their child is sleeping or not sleeping, or overeating or not overeat, like, not eating as much, you know, they're not engaging in activities at school, lots of loss of interest, then that's when we kind of talk to the parents of, like, okay, if you want a formal diagnosis, of course, go to a psychologist. But, you know, for me, I could work with your child to see if we can bring back that joy, you know, let's say, through play therapy or different modalities of therapy for children.
What can you tell us about domestic violence?
That's one of our areas of focus, is domestic violence. There's lots of facets. So we work with the adults that are involved in domestic violence or intimate partner violence. We also work with children that have been victim to it. It is a long road, but there, at the end of the road, there's rehabilitation. So for children, we were actually able to secure a grant from the Mental Health Foundation a few years ago. And we did a group for children who experienced domestic violence. And in that group, we talked about various things, like, you know, how to calm our bodies down, you know, when we're anxious, our safety plan, if mommy and daddy are fighting, you know, who do we call, who do we talk to, our safe people as well, you know, and just to help the child, first of all, have space to talk about the scary parts, but be prepared if something bad happens again. And like I said, you don't have to be in full crisis. You know, it's not a bad thing to reach out to a therapist to talk to, just to have that space so it doesn't build up. Because if we don't talk about our feelings or acknowledge the hard parts in our life, it comes out anyways. It could come out as anger, could come out as sadness, anxiousness, whatever the case may be. So I would definitely encourage people to engage in therapy for parents, also to engage in therapy for their parent skills as well. I would say I can definitely understand where they're coming from. I can definitely understand the fear and worry about reaching out to therapy. But I would say to them is like, try it and see, you know, because, you know, my family being immigrants, therapy didn't exist. Like, we don't talk about it. And like you said, like, if someone was like going to see a therapist or whatever, you're crazy. That's what they would say. You're crazy. So, you know, definitely, you know, it's like just trying it. Think of it this way. When it comes to therapy, therapy is like a diary. You know, you talk to your therapist like a diary. They're going to hold that information for you and they never tell a soul. Right. So you can talk about anyone you want to. Of course, we have our obligations to report if there's someone at harm. But therapy is a space for anyone who is struggling to talk to. Like I said, I own S&M Counseling, and we're located in Lower Sackville and Dartmouth, our physical spaces. But the great thing is that we can support all of Nova Scotia through virtual therapy, phone calls, video calls. We can also support all provinces as well, which is great. So you don't have to live in Nova Scotia to access our services. You can reach out to us on Facebook, on our Instagram. You can call the office at 902-252-0595 for a consultation for any therapist.
Thank you, Stacey Darku, for being on Mucho Radio.